gravely the world errs and in how many ways it deceives. The 21st chapter. Above all goods and all gifts, we must rest in God. The disciple. Above all things and in all things, O my soul, rest always in God, for He is the everlasting rest of the saints. Grant, most sweet and loving Jesus, that I may seek my repose in You above every creature, above all health and beauty, above every honor and glory, every power and dignity, above all knowledge and cleverness, all riches and arts, all joy and gladness, above all fame and praise, all sweetness and consolation, above every hope and promise, every merit and desire, above all the gifts and favors that You can give or pour down upon me, above all the joy and exaltation that the mind can receive and feel, and finally above the angels and archangels and all the heavenly host, above all things visible and invisible, and may I seek my repose in You above everything that is not You, my God. For You, O Lord my God, are above all things the best. You alone are most high. You alone most powerful. You alone are most sufficient and most satisfying. You alone most sweet and consoling. You alone are most beautiful and loving. You alone most noble and glorious above all things. In You is every perfection that has been or ever will be. Therefore, whatever You give me besides Yourself, whatever You reveal to me concerning Yourself, and whatever You promise, is too small and insufficient when I do not see and fully enjoy You alone. For my heart cannot rest or be fully content until, rising above all gifts and every created thing, it rests in You. Who, O most beloved spouse, Jesus Christ, most pure lover, Lord of all creation, who shall give me the wings of true liberty that I may fly to rest in You? When shall freedom be fully given me to see how sweet You are, O Lord my God? When shall I recollect myself entirely in You, so that because of Your love I may feel, not myself, but You alone above all sense and measure, in a manner known to none? But now I often lament and grieve over my unhappiness, for many evils befall me in this vale of miseries, often disturbing me, making me sad and overshadowing me, often hindering and distracting me, alluring and entangling me so that I neither have free access to You nor enjoy the sweet embraces which are ever ready for blessed souls. Let my sighs and the manifold desolation here on earth move You. O Jesus, splendor of eternal glory, consolation of the pilgrim soul, with You my lips utter no sound, and to You my silence speaks. How long will my Lord delay His coming? Let Him come to His poor servant and make him happy. Let Him put forth His hand and take this miserable creature from his anguish. Come, O come, for without You there will be no happy day or hour, because You are my happiness, and without You my table is empty. I am wretched, as it were imprisoned and weighed down with fetters, until You fill me with the light of Your presence, restore me to liberty, and show me a friendly countenance. Let others seek instead of You whatever they will, but nothing pleases me or will please me but You, my God, my hope, my everlasting salvation. I will not be silent. I will not cease praying until Your grace returns to me, and You speak inwardly to me, saying, Behold, I am here. Lo, I have come to You because You have called me. Your tears and the desire of Your soul, Your humility and contrition of heart, have inclined me and brought me to You. Lord, I have called You and have desired You, and have been ready to spurn all things for Your sake. For You first spurned me on to seek You. May You be blessed, therefore, O Lord, for having shown this goodness to Your servant according to the multitude of Your mercies. What more is there for Your servant to say to You, unless, with his iniquity and vileness always in mind, he humbles himself before You? Nothing among all the wonders of heaven and earth is like You. Your works are exceedingly good, your judgments true, and your providence rules the whole universe. May you be praised and glorified, therefore, O wisdom of the Father. Let my lips and my soul and all created things unite to praise and bless you. The 22nd chapter. Remember the innumerable gifts of God, the disciple. Open my heart, O Lord, to your law, and teach me to walk in the way of your commandments. Let me understand your will. Let me remember your blessings, all of them, and each single one of them, with great reverence and care, so that henceforth I may return worthy thanks for them. I know that I am unable to give due thanks for even the least of your gifts. I am unworthy of the benefits you have given me. And when I consider your generosity, my spirit faints away before its greatness. All that we have of soul and body, whatever we possess interiorly or exteriorly, by nature or by grace, are your gifts, and they proclaim your goodness and mercy from which we have received all good things. If one receives more and another less, yet all are yours, and without you nothing can be received. He who receives greater things cannot glory in his own merit, or consider himself above others, or behave insolently toward those who receive less. He who attributes less to himself and is the more humble and devout in returning thanks is indeed the greater and the better, while he who considers himself lower than all men and judges himself to be the least worthy is the more fit to receive the greater blessing. He, on the other hand, who has received fewer gifts, should not be sad or impatient or envious of the richer man. Instead, he should turn his mind to you and offer you the greatest praise, because you give so bountifully, so freely and willingly, without regard to persons. All things come from you, therefore you are to be praised in all things. You know what is good for each of us, and why one should receive less and another more is not for us to judge, but for you who have marked every man's merits. Therefore, O Lord God, consider it a great blessing not to have many things which human judgment holds praiseworthy and glorious. For one who realizes his own poverty and vileness should not be sad or downcast at it, but rather consoled and happy because you, O God, have chosen the poor, the humble, and the despised in this world to be your friends and servants. The truth of this is witnessed by your apostles, whom you made princes over all the world. Yet they lived in this world without complaining, so humble and simple, so free from malice and deceit, that they were happy even to suffer reproach for your name and to embrace with great affection that which the world abhors. A man who loves you and recognizes your benefits, therefore, should be gladdened by nothing so much as by your will, by the good pleasure of your eternal decree. With this, he should be so contented and consoled that he would wish to be the least as others wish to be the greatest, that he would be as peaceful and satisfied in the last place as in the first, and as willing to be despised, unknown, and forgotten, as to be honored by others, and to have more fame than they. He should prefer your will and the love of your honor to all else, and it should comfort him more than all the benefits which have been or will be given him. The 23rd chapter. Four things which bring great peace. The voice of Christ. My child, I will teach you now the way of peace and true liberty. Seek, child, to do the will of others rather than your own. Always choose to have less rather than more. Look always for the last place and seek to be beneath all others. Always wish and pray that the will of God be fully carried out in you. Behold, such will enter into the realm of peace and rest. Disciple. O Lord, this brief discourse of yours contains much perfection. It is short in words, but full of meaning and abounding in fruit. Certainly, if I could only keep it faithfully, I should not be so easily disturbed. For as often as I find myself troubled and dejected, I find that I have departed from this teaching. But you who can do all things and who always love what is for my soul's welfare, give me increase of grace that I may keep your words and accomplish my salvation. A prayer against bad thoughts. O Lord my God, be not far from me. O my God, hasten to help me, for varied thoughts and great fears have risen up within me, afflicting my soul. How shall I escape them unharmed? How shall I dispel them? I will go before you, says the Lord, and will humble the great ones of earth. I will open the doors of the prison and will reveal to you hidden secrets. Do as you say, Lord, and let all evil thoughts fly from your face. This is my hope and my only comfort, to fly to you in all tribulation, to confide in you and to call on you from the depths of my heart, and to await patiently for your consolation. A prayer for enlightening the mind. Enlighten me, good Jesus, with the brightness of internal light, and take away all darkness from the habitation of my heart. Restrain my wandering thoughts and suppress the temptations which attack me so violently. Fight strongly for me and vanquish these evil beasts, the alluring desires of the flesh, so that peace may come through your power and the fullness of your praise resound in the holy courts, which is a pure conscience. Command the winds and the tempest. Say to the sea, be still, and to the north wind, do not blow, and there will be a great calm. Send forth your light and your truth to shine on the earth, for I am as earth, empty and formless, until you illumine me. Pour out your grace from above. Shower my heart with heavenly dew. Open the springs of devotion to water the earth, that it may produce the best of good fruits. Lift up my heart, pressed down by the weight of sins, and direct all my desires to heavenly things, that having tasted the sweetness of supernal happiness, I may find no pleasure in thinking of earthly things. Snatch me up and deliver me from all the passing comfort of creatures, for no created thing can fully quiet and satisfy my desires. Join me to yourself in an inseparable bond of love, because you alone can satisfy him who loves you, and without you all things are worthless. The 24th chapter. Avoiding curious inquiry about the lives of others. The voice of Christ. My child, do not be curious. Do not trouble yourself with idle cares. What matters this or that to you? Follow me. What is it to you if a man is such and such, if another does or says this or that? You will not have answer for others, but you will have to give an account of yourself. Why, then, do you meddle in their affairs? Behold, I know all men. I see everything that is done under the sun, and I know how matters stand with each. What is in his mind, and what in his heart, and the end to which his intention is directed. Commit all things to me, therefore, and keep yourself in good peace. Let him who is disturbed be as restless as he will. Whatever he has said or done will fall upon himself, for he cannot deceive me. Do not be anxious for the shadow of a great name, for the close friendship of many, or for the particular affection of men. These things cause distraction and cast great darkness about the heart. I would willingly speak my word and reveal my secrets to you, if you would watch diligently for my coming and open your heart to me. Be prudent, then. Watch in prayer, and in all things humble yourself. The 25th chapter, the basis of firm peace of heart and true progress. The voice of Christ. My child, I have said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Footnote 34, John 14, 27. All men desire peace, but all do not care for the things that go to make true peace. My peace is with the humble and meek of heart. Your peace will be in much patience. If you hear me and follow my voice, you will be able to enjoy much peace. The disciple. What then shall I do, Lord? The voice of Christ. Watch yourself in all things in what you do and what you say. Direct your every intention toward pleasing me alone, and desire nothing outside of me. Do not be rash in judging the deeds and words of others, and do not entangle yourself in affairs that are not your own. Thus it will come about that you will be disturbed little and seldom, yet never to experience any disturbance or to suffer any hurt in heart or body does not belong to this present life, but rather to the state of eternal rest. Do not think, therefore, that you have found true peace if you feel no depression, or that all is well because you suffer no opposition. Do not think that all is perfect if everything happens just as you wish, and do not imagine yourself great or consider yourself especially beloved if you are filled with great devotion and sweetness. For the true lover of virtue is not known by these things, nor do the progress and perfection of man consist in them. The disciple. In what do they consist, Lord? The voice of Christ. They consist in offering yourself with all your heart to the divine will, not seeking what is yours either in small matters or great ones, either in temporal or eternal things, so that you will preserve equanimity and give thanks to both prosperity and adversity, seeing all things in their proper light. If you become so brave and long-suffering in hope that you can prepare your heart to suffer still more, even when all inward consolation is withdrawn, and if you do not justify yourself as though you ought not to be made to suffer such great things, but acknowledge me to be just in all my works and praise my holy name, then you will walk in the true and right path of peace. Then you may have sure hope of seeing my face again in joy. If you attain to complete contempt of self, then know that you will enjoy an abundance of peace as much as is possible in this earthly life. The 26th chapter. The excellence of a free mind gained through prayer rather than by study. The disciple. It is the mark of a perfect man, Lord, never to let his mind relax in attention to heavenly things, and to pass through many cares as though he had none, not as an indolent man does, but having by the certain prerogative of a free mind no disorderly affection for any created being. Keep me, I beg you, most merciful God, from the cares of this life, lest I be too much entangled in them. Keep me from many necessities of the body, lest I be ensnared by pleasure. Keep me from all darkness of mind, lest I be broken by troubles and overcome. I do not ask deliverance from those things which worldly vanity desires so eagerly, but from those miseries which, by the common curse of humankind, oppress the soul of your servant in punishment, and keep him from entering into the liberty of spirit as often as he would. My God, sweetness beyond words, make bitter all the carnal comfort that draws me from love of the eternal and lures me to its evil self by the sight of some delightful good in the present. Let it not overcome me, my God. Let not flesh and blood conquer me. Let not the world and its brief glory deceive me, nor the devil trip me by his craftiness. Give me courage to resist, patience to endure, and constancy to persevere. Give me the soothing unction of your spirit rather than all the consolations of the world, and in place of carnal love, infuse me into the love of your name. Behold, eating, drinking, clothing, and other necessities that sustain the body are burdensome to the fervent soul. Grant me the grace to use such comforts temperately, and not to become entangled in too great a desire for them. It is not lawful to cast them aside completely, for nature must be sustained. But your holy law forbids us to demand superfluous things, and things that are simply for pleasure, else the flesh would rebel against the spirit. In these matters, I beg, let your hand guide and direct me, so that I may not overstep the law in any way. The 27th chapter. Self-love is the greatest hindrance to the highest good.